Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Noonan. And I know Bob would be saying, "That's my son. Did you hear that?" Bob, it's true that your father will not be here for the bowl games. But I do know one thing. He's doing everything he can to influence the outcome of those right now. And I think of Bob, and as Kevin said, I couldn't think of more people that came on our show when we did it for 10 years than Bob and Pauline. But when I think of Bob, I think of what Jesus said when he saw Philip, finally a man in Jerusalem with no guile. Finally a man with a heart who loved everyone. Now, don't get me wrong. Bob would say, "I'm working my program," which meant he had character defects, translated sin. Okay? And Bob never realized that the old salt, the old Navy guy in him, could say things that would hurt people, but he would be dumbfounded to think that they were hurt, because that wasn't his heart. His heart was about laughter and jokes, and I could never call him to invite him anywhere without him saying, "Hey, did you hear about the guy?" Whether I heard it or not, he told it again. As I told Pauline the other night, he's no longer working the program, for he is complete. When I would ask Bob, "How long, Bob, has it been since you had a drink?" he would say, 32 years, 11 months. Then he'd look at his watch all the time and say, "Well, it's been 22 days, and he got down to the hour, and he got down to 37 seconds. Because Bob, like that young blind man in the Gospel of John, had great theology. And what he would say is, "All I know, I was blind and now I see, and that man, Jesus, healed me. You tell me how he did it." That was Bob's theology. And he couldn't wait to go tell somebody else that he could see and that there was a remedy for them. One of the things that Bob taught me in this recovery movement is that if Bob ever got angry about something, it was about churches who saved people but wouldn't heal them. And he'd say to me, and we had this talk with Pauline many times, "Jesus said, 'I came to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to bind their wounds. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden.'" Bob said, "Let's get about the business of doing that." "How's your program, by the way, Bob? How's it doing? How's this? How's that?" Whenever I invited Bob to do anything, he played Santa each year. And I'd say, "You know, Bob, sometimes churches, you know, they don't like the whole Santa deal." He goes, "Look, it's an easy sell. What you do, Jesus free gift, Santa free gift. Come on, sell it. I want to play Santa Claus." And he just did it last week with Pauline, with a lot of children at his feet, giving out candy canes. And my granddaughter, who's two, is still saying, "Where's Ho-Ho?" So... when I think of the greats, the John Wesleys and the General Booths, who came back to church and said, "We have to do something for the poor, the disenfranchised, and the addicted," and they were kicked out. And Wesley would ride 30 to 50 miles a day and preach in places like Shoreditch and Spitalfield, and Booth was beaten and thrown out of the church. And I think, because they wanted to bring recovery and help to those that were lost. When we think of recovery movement today, and we think of Celebrate Recovery and stepping out, and I was just speaking to Dr. Mark Laser, and he was saying his program, and there's many, many others. Many would say that Bob Bartosz was a stubborn man, probably only the nose that knew him best, but he was, and I thank God for some of that stubbornness. Thousands of churches around the world, 13 different countries had Celebrate Recovery, not Celebrate Recovery, Overcomers Outreach because of Bob. And because of that stubbornness and that tenacity of not letting go and saying, "Bring healing to the disenfranchised," I think when we think of the Union Rescue Mission, Celebrate Recovery, Bowery Mission, General Booth and John Wesley, we'll always have to remember to also name Bob Bartosz.